Okay, so we're going to look at Psalm 3 today, which is an amazing psalm. Starting about a month ago, we started looking at psalms. We started Psalm 1, Psalm 2, so today we're up to Psalm 3. And I love the psalms. They're actually originally written as songs. And the theme of this song is what to do when you're betrayed, even by a close family member. And you know, Jesus said sometimes these things would happen to us. Not everyone in our family or our circle of friends may like the fact that we're a Christian. Some of them may do nasty things to us, and that's what we're going to look at today. So let's read Psalm 3 together. Can you all see that with the lights on, or do you want me to switch the lights off? Yeah, you can look it up in your own Bible. So it says, this is a psalm of David, and he wrote this at the time when he ran away from his son Absalom. So we'll learn more about that. O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. So this was written by David, and he was king of Israel and lived about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. He is an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Jesus was descended from him through his mother Mary. And David is one of the great heroes of the Old Testament. I think we all know the story of David and how he killed Goliath. You remember that one? Well, this is the same David when he was much... He wrote this psalm when he was much older. He was an old man when he wrote this. And the good thing about David is that he trusted God in the same way that Abraham did. And he trusted to have a right relationship with God, even though he sometimes did bad things. He sometimes broke God's commandments. And he actually did some very bad things. We'll find out about that a bit later. But even when he did really bad things, he still kept trusting that God would forgive him and put things right in his life. And that is one of the keys. If you could touch it that way. Sorry?
There's been an update, carry on.
Okay, carry on. So if you could fast forward, please. Yeah. So, and in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, it talks about David, and it tells us something very important about him, which is going to help us understand this psalm or song he wrote. It says in Romans chapter 4, people are counted as righteous. That means you're in a right relationship with God, not because of their work and all their efforts and they're trying to do what's right, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. So it's a quote here from King David. He said, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." Now, why did David say that? Because David did some very bad things. He was married, and yet he broke his promise to his wife, and he slept with a woman who was married to someone else. The Bible calls that adultery. And when he realized what had happened, that woman became pregnant, this other man's wife became pregnant, and David felt so angry about it, he decided he would arrange for that woman's husband to be killed. And that woman's husband was a soldier in David's army. David was the king, and he arranged for that man to be left during a battle so the enemies would kill him, and he got killed. And that's really murder. And God sent one of his servants, a prophet called Nathan, to tell David that is wrong. You should not have slept with that man's wife and got her pregnant, and you should not have murdered her husband. So how did David react after he did those things? The amazing thing about David was he knew God well enough to know that God would forgive him for those sins, and also God would change him on the inside so he wouldn't do those things again. And David was genuinely sorry, and he repented. To repent means you turn around, you change your attitude about what you've done, and you decide to go in a different direction. That's what we do when we become Christians. And you can read a prayer that David wrote, David said in Psalm 51, when he was apologizing to God and asking God to forgive him for murder and for adultery. David believed that God is a forgiving God, and that is who he is. That's why Jesus came and died for us. Now, David had many children. Back in those days, kings would not just have one wife, they'd have lots of wives, and they would have as many children as they could. And David's children, after this episode, they started doing really bad things, like he'd done. They started committing sexual sins and even murder. Some of his children did that. And that teaches us that the decisions we make have an effect on other people. You know, we should do the right thing, firstly for ourselves, but secondly for those around us, because everyone's watching what we do. So David did some bad things, and they affected himself, but they also affected his children. And in fact, one of his sons, called Absalom, he decided to lead a rebellion and try and kill his father David and take over the kingdom and replace him as king. You can read that in 2 Samuel 15. David's life is a very exciting life. It's great to read about. But even though this terrible thing happened to David, his faith in God stayed strong. And that was the key to God rescuing from this terrible situation. And as far as I know, I think David's situation was a lot worse than any situation any of us are facing. To my knowledge, none of us have done the bad things that David did, and none of us are in as much danger as David's in. But what we can do is we can learn from the way David trusted God in that situation to help us with the challenges that we're facing. And it's regardless of what we may have done that may have caused some of the problems we're in. David's key to victory was that he knew God loved him. Rita reminded us of that this morning. David knew God loved him. David knew that God had forgiven him for the bad things he'd done. And David knew that God was faithful to keep his promises, even though the worst things had happened to him. So next slide is, let's look at what he said in the psalm then. So all that was background to this psalm that David wrote. He begins by saying, "Lord, I have so many enemies." And his worst enemies were his own children in many cases. "So many are against me. So many people are saying God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." So when David faced, he was in danger. His own son was leading the army to come and kill him. That's a bad situation to be in. David turned to the Lord. And in the time of David, the people of Israel knew God's name as like a secret code, YHWH. I think Johnny's got that in his number plate. But it was a Hebrew name. It was so holy, they took the vowels out and they wouldn't even say it. But when Jesus came, he revealed who God really is. Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua. That's how you'd say it. He'll spell it in English. When it was translated into Greek, it became Jesus. So David turns to Jesus in the midst of his trouble. And when he was facing life-threatening attacks, he talked to Jesus about his problem. And that's lesson number one we can learn from this psalm. Whatever trouble you face in your life, whatever trouble you're facing right now, the best thing you can do is turn to Jesus and talk to him about it. And we can see that David did not sweep things under the carpet. He faced the reality of his situation. He said to God, "Many people are saying that you will never rescue me." And then David reminds himself who the Lord Jesus Christ is in relation to himself and the trouble he's in. So he says, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me." I can't think of a better shield to have. You know, we were hearing about Marvel superheroes earlier on. You know, Captain America has a shield, doesn't he, that can withstand just about anything in the films. But God is much more powerful than any human shield, than any defense we can have. If God is around us, no one can attack us and defeat us. David says, "You are my glory." What does that mean? It means that God is the one who causes us to reach our full potential and to succeed in what we're created to do. despite the opposition of this world and Satan. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, is a good example of succeeding in what God had called him to do, no matter what happened. People tried to kill Paul. They tried to stone him to death. He got shipwrecked. Some of his friends betrayed him. He was attacked by wild animals. He had major problems. But because he kept trusting God, like David did, by the end of his life, he had done everything God called him to do. And even when he was thrown in prison, he just wrote some letters to his friends that we've been, billions of people have been reading for 2,000 years. All the, you know, most of the New Testament. Paul said this as well. God, you are a shield around me. You are my glory. You're the one who holds my head up high. So when we get attacked, it's important to remember, what has God called me to do? I'm going to keep doing that because God is going to be with me. He's going to empower me and he's going to make me succeed. And, you know, we can so easily find ourselves overwhelmed by our circumstances and by people who are persecuting or attacking us. David was attacked by his own family members. Sometimes the Christians can have a go at us. People who call themselves Christians can have a go at us and cause us trouble. But Jesus will always rescue and deliver us. I think there's the one more slide.
Yeah, there's at least one.
Okay. So let's look at the next verses of this psalm.
There's another one.
David says, I cried out to the Lord and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. Yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. And that wasn't just a figure of speech. David was actually facing 10,000 soldiers who'd come to capture him and kill him. When we cry out to the Lord, he hears and answers us. Why? Because Jesus has made us and our bodies temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside us, just like we saw in that Bible story. How many of us believe the Holy Spirit is living inside us? Put your hand up if you believe the Holy Spirit is living inside you. That means when we cry out to the Lord, our prayers don't need to get any higher than the ceiling, because the Holy Spirit is living inside us here. He hears us every second of our lives that we call to him. And when we commit ourselves and our problems to the Lord, he promises to keep our minds and hearts in perfect peace. It says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, that if we will ask God to help us and we'll give our problems to him, he will guard around our hearts and minds to keep them in peace. And that means you can sleep well and safely. Some people say, I slept like a baby, meaning they slept well, but some babies don't sleep well. They wake up and scream every couple of hours. But God's promises are that we will have a good night's sleep, and we'll sleep safe and sound without a care in the world. Now imagine being able to do that if you're surrounded by 10,000 soldiers who are out to kill you. That is amazing, isn't it? If you could sleep like that. David was literally chased and surrounded by the army of Israel under his son Absalom. Because he trusted in his covenant with God, he remained safe and sound. Another key to victory is to recognize our real enemy is fear. David said, I am not afraid of this situation. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of
fear,
but of
love.
Power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. That's for every one of you. Tell the person next to you, I have not got a spirit of fear.
I have not got a spirit of fear.
I have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind.
I have a spirit of power, love and sound mind.
God does not want you to be afraid ever. So that's encouraging, isn't it? I think it's one of the most common statements in the Bible. Do not fear.
Yeah.
We all get tempted to fear. Sometimes we feel afraid, but we all have a choice to make. Am I going to let these feelings of fear overwhelm me and affect what I do? Or am I going to trust God and do what he tells me to do, even if I feel afraid? That's what it means to walk in faith. God does not want us to be afraid ever. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who fills us with God's love, with God's supernatural strength and ability, better than any superheroes. And God helps us to control our thoughts so that we can trust God instead of panicking. You know, I shared, I think last year, how we were camping in Devon when Storm Francis struck about 3 a.m. And I immediately felt afraid. I thought our tent was just going to get blown over across the field and leave us, you know, under the open sky in our sleeping bags.
Worse, we might have been in it.
We might have been in our tent. Well, as Karen said, we could have been blown away with the tent, found ourselves in the next field. But in the middle of the storm, you remember, because most of you have heard me say this, in Psalm 91, I put my headphones in and I listened to Psalm 91, and it says, "No disaster will happen to your tent." That's what it says in the New International Version. And I knew that was God speaking to me. And our tent survived. I went back to sleep, just like David did with all those tens of thousands around him, and we survived. But you know, whatever situation we're in, you can always choose to trust God instead of surrendering to fear. Amen? So tell the person next to you, "I am a fearless believer in God." Amen. I think we've got one. Let's next slide, please. Now, this is the last bit of the psalm. David says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You've broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people." This is the New King James Version, which I prefer in this last bit of the psalm. This reminds us, notice the past tense, David says, "You have struck all my enemies. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly." Now, who is our enemy? Who is our number one enemy?
Satan.
And this reminds us that Jesus has won the victory over our enemy through his death and resurrection. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, that Jesus destroyed the devil, or Satan, at the cross, and he removed the power of death from Satan, and he released us from being afraid of death, and he released us from being slaves to fear. Isn't that good news? Amen. And so because God has destroyed our enemies, we receive salvation. We receive all the blessings of salvation through trusting in our mighty conqueror, Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah. That's one of his titles in the Bible. These blessings include all of our sins being forgiven, that we have a perfect relationship with God our Father, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not based, even if we do bad things. David did some extremely bad things. But if we do any bad things, any sins, any things that we know the Bible tells us not to do, we can come back to our Father like David did, knowing that he will forgive us and that he will accept us and he will still love us, because Jesus' sacrifice has paid the price for everything, every sin that we have done or will do. The Holy Spirit of God, another blessing. The Holy Spirit is living within us as our comforter, our counselor, our strengthener, our intercessor, our advocate, our constant companion and teacher. That's who the Holy Spirit is for you. So I'm so glad that I have the Holy Spirit living within me. You know, he's my number one helper. Another blessing of salvation is the healing of our bodies from all sickness and disease. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. And as we take the bread, we're going to believe God. Any of us that are experiencing sickness, illness, injuries in our bodies, that we will receive healing from Jesus Christ. Amen? Because Jesus paid for it. It is one of the blessings that are upon us because of Jesus Christ. Another blessing is God's angels protect us wherever we go. Psalm 91. When you're driving your car, if you're riding your bike, whatever you're doing, wherever you go, God promises to protect you. Amen. I was talking to Thomas yesterday about a promise in the Psalms that says, "Not one of your bones will be broken." I remember reading that in my 20s and I said, right, that promise is for me. So I made it mine and I have not broken any bones since then. And I'm trusting I will never break any bones. Hopefully we'll all. Why don't you claim that? And I was saying to Thomas, that's in the Bible, but it's up to you whether you believe it or not. I said, you know, just because it's there doesn't mean it will happen for you. You have to take it and say, that is for me. I'm having that. Thank you, Jesus. Not one of my bones will be broken. So if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to find that promise and apply it. Another blessing of salvation is the strength to live our lives for Jesus and to do all that he's called us to do. You can be a witness for Jesus. I can be a witness for Jesus in my workplace, wherever I go, in the gym, in the clubs, whatever I'm doing. I can be a witness for Jesus. I can call people to follow him. So when I get to heaven and I meet Jesus, he can say, "Well done, John. You've done all that I've called you to do." He won't ask me, "John, how much money did you make? How many possessions did you accumulate? How much celebrity did you get? How many social media friends and likes did you get? He won't ask me those things. He'll say, did you do what I called you to do? That's the important thing. That's what it means to be a success in life. Amen. And the final blessing I've got here of salvation is that we all get to enjoy everlasting life with God, living face to face with God. When heaven comes to the new earth, we're going to live on a new earth forever. Amen. How many of us are grateful for those blessings? Amen. That's good. So I think that's the last slide. So I will...